It's coming time for AIG and the taxpayers to part ways.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. U.S. taxpayers bailed out the world's biggest insurance company, AIG, back in 2008. Today, the government sketches out an exit plan. But first, where's Wall Street? Across the board, stocks are down about 0.2% now, so the Dow's off 22 points at 10,835. There's some anxiety again about Europe's debt problems. There are protests there today against the austerity measures governments are taking to cut their debt. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. First, let's say good morning to economist Richard DeCaeser of Woodley Park Research, joining us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Bill.
So as I said, government officials are meeting today with the board of AIG to figure out how to extricate the taxpayer from that bailed out company. Richard, what is the government's goal here?
Well, I think there are actually two goals, Bill. In the most general sense, it is to get out of the private sector. AIG was the poster child for bailouts, being by far the most expensive bailout of 2008, totaling about $120 billion when you fold in Treasury and Federal Reserve support across the board. So I think number one mission is to try and step away from this huge involvement in the private sector of the economy. More specifically, however, the government's trying to do so in a way that maximizes return for the American taxpayer. There's this issue about how they convert their preferred shares to common shares, and it's all open for negotiation. If the government targets too low a conversion price, well, then the American taxpayer loses out, but it's better for AIG, its investors, and its prospects going forward, and vice versa. So I'm convinced they're very busily trying to determine what is a fair value for AIG common shares, and that's a very tough job.
It's a tough decision. Is it a quick decision? Is it something the government does and gets out of pretty quickly?
No, I don't think so. You know, we're talking about, rumors are that they're talking about this first transaction taking place in the first half of 2011. And that's only the beginning of what's likely to be a series of issuances, probably taking us a number of years. So whatever's going to happen isn't going to happen quickly.
Right. Just an important meeting today. A little part of that. Richard DeCaeser, Woodley Park Research. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And here are more knock-on effects from the financial crisis. No to austerity is the big chant today in Brussels, Belgium, headquarters of the European Union, as tens of thousands of protesters, maybe 100,000, march in anger. They're mad that European banks were bailed out, and now governments there are cutting deficits by slashing spending and pensions, and they're hiking taxes. Meanwhile, the European Commission today announces plans to stop member countries from getting into debt. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports governments that borrow too much money will face fines.
The move follows the Greek debt crisis that threatened the future of the euro, and the EU wants to come down hard on any country that may threaten the stability of the eurozone in future. Governments that fail to comply with strict limits on budget deficits and national debt will be fined, and countries whose economies are veering out of control, like we've seen in Ireland and Spain, will have to show how they plan to get back on track. Olly Rehn is in charge of economic policy at the EU Commission. He says they owe it to the citizens of Europe to introduce new rules.
There is hardly nothing more antisocial than a rocketing high debt and an erosion of public finances, which always hits social benefits and public services and erodes the foundations of sustainable growth and job creation.
Europe already has a system of fines in place, but this will simplify the process so countries can't wriggle out of punishments as easily. And although EU governments accept that tough measures are needed, today's proposals have already been bitterly opposed by France. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
A new round of U.S. trade sanctions against Iran take effect today. It'll be harder to get Persian rugs, and there's a ban on Iranian pistachio imports. That's good news for American pistachio growers who faced a lot of competition from Iran. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us live from Washington, D.C. Hello, John.
Good morning, Bill.
Would it be wrong to ask you to give us this story in a nutshell?
In the mid-1980s, Iran was the world's dominant pistachio grower and shipped around 27 million pounds a year to the U.S. But California farmers have turned that around, and over the past year, imports from Iran were down to 1 million pounds. Now, even that competition is going to disappear. Gary Hofbauer at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says not only does the pistachio ban punish Iran for its nuclear weapons policies, it incidentally is a boost for the domestic pistachio industry.
The U.S. growers are delighted by this. No doubt it provides a little additional political support for a huge foreign policy goal. And so there you have a bit of protection, higher pistachio prices for those who love those lovely little nuts.
Very interesting. So does this, John, put an end to the competition for the pistachio market?
Well, only domestically. The competition for foreign markets will probably step up some now that Iran has to divert its exports elsewhere. 75% of the pistachios grown in this country will be sent overseas, especially to China. China's a booming market. U.S. pistachio exports to China grew from $5 to $50 million just in the last 5 years.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale live in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
And speaking of things that roast, the Las Vegas Review-Journal reports the owners of the new Vidara Hotel in Vegas have discovered the building's curved glass focuses the sun's rays onto the hotel swimming pool. If you're an ant, you know this issue. Hotel guests complain when they lie in the wrong spot, they suffer severe burns. The hotel says it's working on a fix. They also might want to apply for a clean energy tax credit. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.